With talk of the Chicago Bulls being open to trading up in the 2024 NBA draft, we're going to look at the two teams that I think are the most likely trade partners for the Chicago Bulls if they're going to realistically trade up. We're also talk a little bit about the prospects that the Bulls really could be looking at or seem to be surrounding if they do trade up. And then we're going to look at the most likely Bulls also to be on the trade block in certain ways this upcoming season, which is something, another list that we're steadily updating, and dive a little bit into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. So a lot of talk around the Chicago Bulls potentially trading up in this draft. And I want to look at the teams that are probably the most likely to maybe be willing to trade with the Chicago Bulls, or just in general, who are open for business that the Bulls could take a look at. And yes, there are some talk about like the Spurs potentially and stuff like that. Not going to get into those. I think those teams are enough in where they are as a team that they're probably likely to keep their picks. And also they are teams that draft extremely well. So I do think that they're going to probably be looking to hold on to those picks. But first up is the Houston Rockets. And we've basically heard almost since right after the lottery that the Houston Rockets could be open to moving this number 3 overall pick. Right now, the Rockets are going into win now mode. They have a lot of young pieces already on this team, and it seems like they're trying to complement their young pieces by bringing in kind of more trusted veterans, right? Who you exactly know what they're going to bring that can help the young players along. And that's why you hear some of the rumors like maybe it could be an Alex Caruso straight up for the number 3 overall pick, things like that. I don't know if that actually gets it done, but I do think the Houston Rockets are an extremely likely trade partner for the Chicago Bulls just because of those things. And they sit at a place with a head coach as well who really likes those veteran pieces. You look at what they added last year as far as veteran pieces, and they ended up working out for that team, right? So, you know, while there's some issues there and things like that, but I think overarchingly, they're going to be looking for pieces that kind of help their young core fit better together. And Fred VanVleet has been solid there. Of course, Dylan Brooks was really played extremely well for the Houston Rockets. Still the player that Dylan Brooks is always going to be. But, you know, they are looking. They got Jalen Green. They got Jabari Smith. They got Alfred Sengun, who they're really building their offense around going forward. Amen Thompson is there as well. So, you know, they have a lot. Tari Eason, right? They have a lot of young pieces on this team that still have tremendous upside that they're still looking to develop, but maybe trying to find some complementary pieces in that. Cam Whitmore, a draft pick of them last year in that first round as well. He averaged over 12 points per game for them. So they're looking for vets. And the Chicago Bulls potentially have one of those that they really could help that team in an Alex Caruso if they're moving on from Alex Caruso. We're not guaranteed, not saying that they are, but if the Bulls were to try to trade with the Houston Rockets, it's reasonable to think that it could be built around Alex Caruso, right? Or maybe it is something else, but it's reasonable to think that. We'll see what happens with that one. The next team that I want to talk about with the chance of trading down in this draft is the Memphis Grizzlies as well. Now, this offers a kind of unique situation for the Bulls as well, as far as that it's only moving up 2 spots. So if the Bulls are willing to trade the number 11 pick and not looking to just acquire another first round pick, if they just want to trade up to make sure they get their guy because they think maybe a team before them could draft and the team right before them, I do see them potentially moving up and getting the Memphis Grizzlies number 9 overall pick. Now, that's not to say that maybe the Bulls can't entice as well the Memphis Grizzlies with kind of the same thing. Maybe Alex Caruso, the Memphis Grizzlies, who, you know, looking definitely for some more depth, you know, behind what they have in why am I throwing a blank? In Ja Morant. Woo, I don't care. It's one of my favorite players in the NBA. How can I not remember his name? They're looking for it in Ja Morant. So, you know, Alex Caruso offers some really big defensive versatility for them. For sure. We know they're probably looking for bigs, though, right? Because of, you know, Steven Adams moving on and things like that. But the Memphis Grizzlies could become a team that we know that they are a team that's headed for the right now. They also have some big contracts, so maybe a rookie scale contract could help them if they feel like they get a guy who can really help them off the bench. They also got Marcus Smart there, as well as a player that can help back up Ja Morant. So I don't know if Alex Caruso is going to be like the biggest enticement for them, but he could be somebody that they could be interested in. You add Alex Caruso to a rotation of John Morant, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, who him and Marcus Smart can both play multiple positions outside of just the guard rotation. That's a nice lineup. The bigger question is, would they be willing to do that, right? Is that something that's really on the horizon for them? And would they be willing to give up the pick for it? They also, you know, they have players on the rise like a GG Jackson. Do they plan to try to start GG next to Jaren Jackson Jr.? I don't think that, even though it seems like Jaren Jackson Jr. would be a good player to move over to the center. Seems like he's kind of better suited for that power forward position. So we'll see what happens there. But I do think the Memphis Grizzlies could be open for business. I just don't think that they would be looking to trade that first round pick outright. I think that would be more of a pick swap scenario. And then you got to ask yourselves, what are the Bulls giving up to only move up two spots? And is that enough for the Chicago Bulls? I mean, I guess if they're getting a player that they really look at as their guy, right, that they really truly think is the superstar talent that's going to come out this draft, they may be willing to do that. Maybe you only have to part for your own 11 in the Portland pick, which is more likely to turn into 2 seconds, things like that. So there's a chance of that. But I also want to talk about it from this standpoint as well. While it seems like the Chicago Bulls right now, as far as trading up, the two candidates that it seems like they'd be looking for, per the rumors that we've heard, is Matis Bucilis, or it'd come down to Donovan Clingan. That seems like the two players that they are circling right now with that. And while I can understand if the Bulls are trading up to get those guys, there's still a big, big chance that one of the other guys, a really good guy, falls to him. Especially as you're hearing somebody like Ron Holland is dropping in a lot of mocks. That's somebody who I feel has tremendous. Does he have the upside of a Matis Bucilis? No, but I think he's right there as far as highest upside players in this draft also. And you got to take a look at him. Tijon Salloon, you guys know, who's becoming one of my favorite prospects in this draft as well. If he ends up falling there, there's a high probability that one of Matis Bucilis, Ron Holland, and Tijon Salloon do fall to the Bulls at number 11. That is why is it, you got to ask yourself, are the Bulls looking to acquire another pick, or are they looking to trade up? And those are two very different things. And I think for a big part, that conversation's kind of been had as if they're synonymous, and they're not. And I think that the difference in that really makes a big part of trying to figure out what the Bulls are doing. If they're not looking to trade up but acquire another pick higher, that's a very, very different outlook than trading up. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch what the Bulls do here at the draft. Like I said, this is probably, more excitement than I really thought would be around the Chicago Bulls initially, because coming into this offseason, I just didn't expect the Bulls to be looking for any change, and they still may very well not. I want to be clear here. There is still a more likely than not scenario that we don't get very much change at all with this Bulls team. I want to make sure, even in the talk and the rumors of change and trading up, I still want to be realistic in the fact that it's still more likely that the Bulls don't do shit. I just want to be clear here, right? There's still, until they show us, I still think that the highest probability is that nothing happened. But if it is, and it's more so acquiring a higher up pick than trading up and keeping your own number 11 pick, that is where the Bulls can really get into adding some much needed young talent. And that could be a sign of the Bulls definitely going younger than what we have been the last few years, and kind of going back to what they initially said that they wanted to do when they took over this team. Again, we'll watch it. Of course, we won't know for sure until draft night what the Bulls are going to do. We are a little over 2 weeks away from draft night, and I can tell you right now, I am stoked right now about the possibilities for the Chicago Bulls in this draft. Like, this is an exciting time as a content creator to be in a place where you're not quite sure what your team's going to do, right? But you still, the hope of success and the pessimism of disappointment are kind of equal right now for the Chicago Bulls, at least for me, right? Everybody else has their own feeling. And I think when it comes down to that, I guess is where we'll see what AK really has up his sleeve, if he does have anything up his sleeve. But in talking about potentially trading up or acquiring another pick, it comes down to, what do you have available, right? And I want to talk about the most likely Bulls players to be traded. I do think that if the Bulls are looking to trade up, or if they're looking to acquire another pick, that Portland pick could be gone. Again, the Portland pick, for those that don't know, it's lottery protected until 2028. At that point, it becomes 2 second-round picks. And the lottery protection is simple. If the Portland Trailblazers make the playoffs, the Chicago Bulls get the pick. And if you look at that Portland team and you think that this is a team that's going to make the playoffs, in the next 4 years, you have a way better outlook on that team than I do. It's a high probability that that pick ends up turning into 2 second round picks. So I just wanted to get that off the board, whatever it is, however you view that there. Of course, Zach LaVine is the number one player that's probably going to be traded away this offseason because it's everything that we've heard. That the Bulls are really looking to move on from Zach LaVine. They're ready to end the experiment. It's kind of mutual at this point. It is what it is. That's what it comes down to. Now, are you going to get a draft pick in this draft of trading Zach LaVine? That would have to make it a draft day trade. A draft night trade it would have to go down on. And it's not like the Bulls haven't done that before. Now, that hasn't been this front office, but the last time the Bulls did a draft night trade, a major one, was the Jimmy Butler trade, right? So if the Bulls look to do something similar and don't do what that front office did and also giving up our own first-round pick in that one because they could have kept that. But again, if they do move on from Zach LaVine and they're able to get a first-round pick in this draft, I don't think it's going to be a high one. If they do, it's probably going to be a pick more between 18 and 25, somewhere up in there. And that would determine, you know, how much of a player could the Chicago Bulls be. And I think there's still quite a bit of talent. You know, Tyler Smith, a guy that I do like, not as much as I initially came into this, slated to go in that. Kyle Filipowski slated to go in those 20s as well, according to a lot of mocks. So if like a trade partner that's been rumored, like, for example, the Orlando Magic, they sit there at number 18, just threw them out there. If they are interested in Zach and you can get that number 18 overall pick to do it, I mean, that the Bulls could still get, maybe go wing with their own number 11, maybe go big with the number 18. So, you know, Zach LaVine is, of course, the biggest trade option for the Chicago Bulls this year. Just with his value and things like that, I don't know exactly what the Bulls will be getting back. Alex Caruso, who we talked about in the last segment, is absolutely probably the highest value. Zach LaVine's the most likely to be moved. Alex Caruso is the most high value trade asset that we have. And it comes down to, do the Bulls really want to move on from Alex Caruso? They hold that value high because they don't want to give up on him. But in the expiring deal, if they are truly trying to go younger, right, that which is not guaranteed. This is just me talking through my thoughts. We have heard nothing about the Bulls being focused on going younger as they offered DeMar DeRozan reportedly $40 million. But if they have come off of that and they do decide to go younger, Alex Caruso is the Bulls' biggest trade chip. And maybe they do look to move on from him during the draft to acquire another pick. And I again, not that I want Alex Caruso to leave, but in trying to maximize your assets and recoup some picks that you gave up to build this team, Alex Caruso does offer the biggest chance of that and getting a high pick. But we'll see what the Bulls end up doing in that.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And the other trade assets that aren't necessarily maybe traded in this at the draft, but are potentially traded this offseason, you got to put Patrick Williams on there. Not to say that the Bulls should trade Patrick Williams. 22 years old, I don't think that the Bulls want to relive the mistake of trading away Lauri Markkanen and him becoming an all-star. I do think that they want to keep Patrick Williams. But want and results are very different things sometimes. You look at it, Patrick Williams has played 213 games out of a possible over 300 games so far in his NBA career, if you're looking for any knock on that. He's still growing, for sure. He still has more than enough time to grow. We know that. We know that he hasn't always been used the best and utilized. He also has the passive nature. But if it gets to restricted free agency, and Patrick Williams and his group, his management team, are looking for money that the Bulls just aren't willing to pay, they could revisit that. And we'll see what happens with that one. Now, two pieces that I think the Bulls could be looking to move on from, but it's going to be very difficult. Nikola Vucevic, when you look at Vuce and the slide that he's been on, still could be a very productive player. I do think team makeup has an overall impact on how Nikola Vucevic tries to score his points and how he's historically liked to score his points over the course of his career. But again, if the Bulls are looking to more go anchor at the defensive position, at that center position, and with some of the young guys who can rim protect, things like that, maybe even keep Andre Drummond in a case like that, Vooch could be somebody that the Bulls could at least take calls on. The problem is, 2 years, $41 million left on this contract. If the Bulls move on from Nikola Vucevic, they are going to be giving up some future assets. And I don't think that the Bulls want to do that. So the hope of moving Nikola Vucevic from a lot of Chicago Bulls fans, I need y'all to temper that, because that's probably not happening per what they would have to give up to move him, but we'll see. And then the bald-headed O himself, Javon Carter. I think that the Bulls have seen it now, right, is that Javon Carter is probably not going to be in the rotation next year, especially if the Bulls do go guard in this draft, or if they do plan on playing Dalen Terry more at the guard. You got Alex Caruso as of right now. You got Kobe White. You got Ayo Dosunmu there. You got Dalen Terry. Technically, Lonzo Ball is going to try to make a comeback. I think all those guys are ahead of Javon Carter on the depth chart. And with Javon Carter's contract only being $6.5 million per year, I could see him included in a trade as a salary matching to get some extra salary. If the Bulls aren't necessarily getting the best deal back for Zach LaVine, they could very well say, well, hey, listen, you're giving us two heavily protected first-round picks. You got to take the bald-headed hoe with them. Like, you could very well do that, right? Or maybe package a Javon Carter with the number 11 pick to move up, something like that. So I do think that there is a route for Javon Carter to potentially be gone before the start of the season. But if it's not included with one of those larger contracts or with one of our more attractive assets, he's probably going to end up staying here on the back end of the bench. But I do think that that $6.5 million contract could be something to use for kind of filler there. So that's what I think. You guys can let me know if you agree, disagree, how you feel down below. As always, let's go ahead and get a little bit into the mailbag today. We've got a voicemail from Oscar. We're going to go ahead and play that now.
Hey, Hayes. Just heard your last episode with the tears of the prospect. Agree with you on all that. My question is, or if you can hit this topic more in depth in one of your episodes, is if the Bulls are serious about, you know, making changes and trades and all this stuff, what combination of prospects, let's say we trade Alex and we get into, I'm not going to give a number, let's say we get into the top 10 and we keep our 11th pick, or, you know, we trade Zach and we get picking 15 to 20. What combination of prospects would you walk away with? If the Bulls walked away with that combination, you'd be super excited about next year. Let's say, for example, let's say they trade Alex Caruso and they get somehow the 7th pick. And they pick up Devin Carter and or Donovan Klinsmann or whatever, and Devin Carter at 11. Or they trade Zach and they get the 18th pick or the Lakers' 17th pick. And with their 11th pick, they take, I don't know, Khalil Ware, and then they come back and pick up Tyler Smith or Ron Holland, some combination of a big and a wing. What combination of players would leave you like, yo, super hyped? Like, I need to see this next year, because I feel like we're building foundation to get this team where it needs to be. Yeah, man, let me know.
What combination would I be? There's a lot of combinations, honestly. I'm going to kind of focus on my kind of best thing for the Chicago Bulls, which is high upside. I want to see the Bulls go high upside. So if the Bulls, for example, were able to trade up and get a top 10 pick, right? Yeah, top 8, something like that. If they can get Mattis Bousillis, I'd love it. He's a guy that I really love in this draft with his extremely high upside. Donovan Klingon as well, if they are able to trade up and get Donovan Klingon, I'd be extremely happy with that. So either Mattis Bousillis, Donovan, any combination of Mattis Bousillis, Donovan Klingon, Tijan Salloon, I'd be really happy with as well. Those are kind of the players that I think stand out the most to me as far as, like, if we're trading up. I know I'm probably missing somebody off the top of my head, but yeah, those are the ones that stick out the most. I really like those players. Mattis Bousillis is not because he's from Chicago or anything like that. I just like his point forward ceiling. I like that a lot. Tijan Salloon, like I said, I like a lot of the same things about both of those players for sure. And then if you can get a Khalil Ware, any combination of Khalil Ware, Donovan Klingon, Mattis Bousillis, Tijan Salloon, any combination of those guys, I like those four players. You can get any combination of those four players, I like that a lot for the Chicago Bulls. And I'll throw in a sleeper one in there as well. And this is somebody who they can get lower. Keyshawn George is a player that I am starting to like more and more and more. I left him off my sleepers list in yesterday's episode, but I'm really, really starting to like this guy the more I watch of his tape. So he's another one absolutely that I would love if the Chicago Bulls were able to get and pair with another young one. But that's kind of lower in the draft. But those are the guys that I like the most in this draft. Tyler Smith, those type of guys, they're lower. If the Bulls do acquire a lower pick, I'm not too mad at them. Kyle Filipowski, not too mad at those guys either. Any combination of those names that I mentioned, I'd be pretty happy with. pretty damn happy with. All right, let's get into the next one. This one's from my brother, Corn.
Hey, what's the word, King? It's Corn, man. Let's get right into it, man. This one is about the guy, you know what I mean? Devin Carter. All right. So, I was, let me just say this. And I still say he can't really shoot, but I got my evidence. I'm a, you know, but this, you know, you ain't even got to, you know, show this out. You know, this could be just your personal, you know, or you can show this out and put it out there for debate. So let's get into it. His release is very awkward. His release is very slow and very awkward. In the NBA, with the athleticism and the time to close, that awkwardness, just look at it. Just look at it and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about with the release. Now, the 37%, that's just more with, okay, I get that kind of really during the whole, but not really that good. Let's just go into his 10 games, the last 10 games he played. 3-for-8, all right, that was against Marquette. Creighton, 1-for-6. Georgetown, 3-for-9. Connecticut, 2-for-7. Georgetown again, 3-for-9. Villanova, 1-for-6. Marquette, 4-for-9. Xavier, 1-for-6. DePaul, he had a good one there. He was 7-for-10. San Jose University, 1-for-2. Butler, 2-for-7. I can keep on going and going on. He had 5-for-8 against Creighton and Villanova. And then you go down to Connecticut again, 1-for-4. 2-for-5. 1-for-6. 2-for-6. 2-for-9. Brother, I just named almost 20 games this man almost played. I'm sorry, brother. I'm going to disagree with you respectfully. You know, I love you, but I got to disagree with you on this one respectfully about Devin Carter. Now, is he a good defender? Can he be a good player? Yes. Is he worth the 11th pick? Hell no. No, he's not worth the 11th pick. And that's about it, King. You know, like, you know, I just respectfully disagree when it comes to Devin Carter and these are the evidence. I get your, I got the evidence. I got the stats. Stats don't lie. These stats right here, they don't lie. And they're bad, man. They're bad. Let's just call it for what it is. All right, King. Love you, Harvard. Have a blessing.
And Corn, you knew I was going to play it because, A, I want to make sure that people know it's perfectly fine. Welcome to challenge me. Like, if you have a difference of opinion, please do. Like, we'll talk about it. We'll get into the numbers, right? Because numbers are numbers, right? Now, Devin Carter's release is awkward, yes. But we've seen players with awkward releases be successful before. It's not about the release, right? Yes, you want to try to fix those mechanics to make it more smooth and stuff if you want. But we've also seen players try to change their mechanics too much and not have the success. It's more important about the success than the threes. And then you went through and mentioned his games that he didn't shoot well. Well, out of the last 16 games of his collegiate career, 9 out of those last 16 games, he shot the ball 33% or better from the three-point range. 7 out of those last 16, which is less than half, 40% or better. In the games where he shot 28% or worse from three-point range, guess what? He got to the free throw line 6.5 times on average and hit it at an average of over 80%. Yes, he's going to have cold shootings. Nobody's saying that he's a perfect shooter that doesn't have cold streaks, but to say that the man can't shoot is just wrong. And then on top of that, as you try to point out again, I'm always going to go back to this because I love messing with you about this, is you go to D'Angelo Russell and talked about before, I got the voicemails, I can pull it, of, well, when D'Angelo Russell isn't scoring, he's doing this. Well, when Devin Carter isn't shooting the ball well, not only is he getting to the free throw line almost 8 times per game, which, again, would put him in a very high status in the NBA, hitting that 80% clip. But, oh, let's not overlook the defense. In games that he also doesn't shoot the ball well, he averages 2.5 steals per game and almost a block and a half per game as a point guard that's a little bit undersized. Also, the rebounding numbers. The dude is a tremendous rebounder as a guard and offers more situations. I'm sorry. Like I said, I know the thing is more built around his shooting. Yes, he has been a streaky shooter, especially last year. But even that, out of the last 16 games, from over half of those games to either be 40 or 33% or higher, is still an extremely good three-point shooter, especially at the volume that he's taking it at. And he would be in a more structured offense because he won't be the offense at an NBA team, and he'll be able to kind of focus more on being an NBA at what he does best because he'll be a role player at that point. I got to disagree with you, Corn. I think that Devin Carter is really good. Again, it's not that I disagree with at number 11. I was extremely surprised at number 11 in that. But he is rising up a lot of mocks on top of that. It's not the pick that I want for the Bulls. I don't want Devin Carter. Like, Devin Carter isn't the player that I'm focused on the Bulls getting. But I will say this, if they did draft him, they're still getting a damn good player that brings a lot of what they need off the bench, and shooting is one of those. But guys, thank you so much for listening to the show or watching. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.